On tonight's episode of Unsolved Canadian Mysteries, we're talking about London, Ontario, the serial killer capital of Canada, and why that is.
Lock your balconies, people.
My name is Kenton DeYoung, and I'm sitting here with my co-host, Dylan Fairman.
Yeah.
And this is Unsolved Canadian Mysteries. So, Dylan, I love the outfit.
What do you mean?
I think you look great today.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
I think you look nice, too.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wore my blue shirt today.
Kenton, you're being a little weird.
Last time I wore my black one.
And also?
The wolf.
You wore a head of an
animal.
The
wolf. Yeah. I love that one so much. We're going to have to feed that to your dogs still later.
Yeah, no. Yes, Kenton, I am quite festive right now. Thank you for noticing.
You look great.
Yes. Nice. I look amazing.
Yes.
It actually, this costume came with like gloves, which I'm not going to wear right now, a belt, came with boots, came with like a neck carpet.
Oh, wow.
Like, the whole thing. Yeah, it came like, you know, like those things you put around a tree at the bottom. It's like a little carpet thing you can do.
Tree skirt.
Yeah, it's like a tree skirt for my neck.
Nice.
Beard, hair, glasses.
Are those the ones? Oh, wow. Look at that. Those just appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I love it.
Wow. It's a Christmas miracle. Oh, I'm going to make this alcoholic. Wow. How are you, Kenton?
I'm good, man.
I don't even know if you asked me how I am, but I'm sure you did.
You know, I'm good. I'm good. I just got back from a couple days in Montreal.
Montreal?
Yeah. I realized we don't have any stores in Montreal, so I couldn't ask anyone about local stuff.
Oh.
All of our witches hang out in Quebec City up the river.
Yeah, man, that's where the witches the be. Quebec.
Yeah. So our last podcast we put out was about the Jack family disappearance.
Correct.
That was on our Patreon. Patreon exclusive.
So the last free one was Halloween.
Yes.
Cool. What a doozy that was.
Yes. The one we did for Halloween, we had the three of us sitting around.
That's for the Patreon, yeah.
Yes. And then before that, it was the witch, I think. Yes.
The free one where they use the bones for the witch.
That's right. I think about that one like every day still.
Yeah. That one is definitely the most like real that I found. Like it was just very, even though you talk about serial killers sometimes.
Yeah.
But this one, like that one was very like, I could picture it in a movie very vividly.
I think like all the time, you know, they could do a thing where it's similar to The Conjuring where you have this story.
Yeah.
Of Barbara Halley and the possession, the demonic possession, and then that entity then goes to like the Dag Demon House, and then it goes to the other
a series of that one. What was the other one? Sorry. Oh, the house, the with the rocks through the windows.
Yeah, yeah.
The duck, the goose outside.
I would think it'd be cool to have like a series of this entity terrorizing people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but. Come on, get Hollywood to do a Canadian story. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, you know what would be really cool? Would be an independent animator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that solid.
That would be pretty decent.
Yeah, maybe one day.
I don't know any of those.
No, but one day.
One day.
We'll make this happen. You'll hear it here first. Mm. We're going to make this into a three-part trilogy of this demon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This asshole demon who pretends to be an angel. You ever seen the Lord of the Rings cartoon? That old one?
It's so scary, man.
It is scary. I haven't seen the full thing, though. No. I want to watch it.
I can't. It's okay. That scene where they're like hiding under the tree, and I'm not sure if it's a Knight Rider, Ghost Rider guy comes
Nazgul.
By.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're hiding. I cannot watch past that scene.
That's so funny.
It's so scary.
That's so funny.
Like, this story begins, well, it doesn't begin, but we'll start off here. In October of 1969, outside of London, Ontario, there's a 15-year-old girl named Jackie English. She has a job at a restaurant. She's been working there for a little while now. You know, she's just starting to date men or boys because she's 15. And she got a second job now working at Metropolitan. Metropolitan's a restaurant just outside of London on Highway 401. So Metropolitan restaurant just outside the city. She doesn't have a license yet. She can't drive. Instead, her mom drives her up to the restaurant to work and then keeps going to her job and then comes back and picks her up. The shift's over and they drive home together. But this week, Jackie's mom is going for surgery and can't drive her. Hmm. Someone said she's getting friends or whoever else to drive her to work and pick her up and drive her back. So this day, October 4th, 1969, Jackie gets off work. She goes outside. There's a car waiting for her. A couple people are in that vehicle. Witnesses see someone come out of the vehicle, open the door for Jackie. She gets in the back. Driver gets in, and instead of driving towards London, they drive out towards the country. London, the area around London is a very wooded area. Lots of forests and creeks and rivers. Mm-hmm. Jackie never comes home that day. Instead, 5 days later, a couple of duck hunters find Jackie's body in the river, 70 kilometers away.
Whoa.
Naked. She's been raped and beat. They found some of her clothes on the highway, and her shoes were by a pond near Lover's Lane, they call it. It was a place where people went to often. Lovers went to spend some quality time together, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And some people would sometimes go there to observe the couples together.
Merry fucking Christmas, Kenton.
I know, right?
What the hell? I thought you were going to be like, oh, this is the mystery of how Santa Claus got his name.
Continue.
Okay. So one of the things about Jackie's position in the water was that she was laid out. Well, some thought maybe she was tossed off the bridge, but she was laid out in the water. One arm was behind her head. One arm was kind of in front of her. And on her hand behind her head, there was a ring that her ex-boyfriend had given her. So some people think that might have been a clue. Was this a sign that, oh, that was my woman? How dare you give her a ring? Or like the ex-boyfriend might have done it.
Oh.
Her death is to this day unsolved.
Obviously.
But obviously.
Yeah. It's the name of the show, Kenton.
But what's interesting about her is that she is the 8th woman or child to have been murdered in a 2-year span in London. Between either 1958 and 1984 or 1960-something 1984, there were 32 homicides in London because London had a problem. They were the serial killer capital of Canada.
Wow.
They had between 6 to 9 active serial killers in London.
During that time frame?
During that time period.
Wow.
London at the time was between 170 to 200,000 people, smaller than Regina.
Yeah.
They said per capita, if another city like LA or New York had the same amount of serial killers, it'd be like 80 or 90 serial killers in each city. So that's per capita how many people they had, like serial killers they had in London. So they've caught a few, obviously, but a lot they never did catch. So I thought we'll go over a couple ones they've caught.
Okay.
And then talk about today's unsolved mystery is, why is London, Ontario, why did it have a serial killer problem?
Yeah.
And why is it the serial killer capital of Canada?
Oh.
We won't be solving the Jackie English story tonight. Mm. We could, you know, spend some time talking about it in another episode. But the thing is, of the 32 people killed, 16 of them were never solved. So we could spend an entire season talking about the unsolved murders of London, Ontario.
Yeah.
There are podcasts. There are books. There's a lot of research going to this. There's quite a few books. There's one they call it the Forest City Killer, because it's called Forest City. And I don't remember the other one. I think it's just like Unsolved London something. But anyway, both very interesting. Lots about Jackie English too out there. So I'm sure we could cover this another one. There's lots of resources, but we're not talking about her specifically.
I see.
It was just one of the many cases that have never been solved.
Like a brandy.
One of the serial killers that terrorized London during this time period was Gerald Thomas Archer. Mm. His whole method was he would go to a bar, meet a single woman, or meet a waitress at a restaurant, use his Riz, as the kids call it these days, and win her over.
Is that what the kids call it?
They call it Riz.
What the hell's Riz?
Like, it's like, you know when you like walk up to a woman and you really impress them with your like good looks or your humor or whatever?
Or your cheese and crackers. Yeah, check out my Ritz.
Not Ritz. Not like, turn on the Ritz. It's R-I-Z. Riz was actually the word of the year in 2023.
That's fucking sad.
I know. That's why I decided to use it, because like, it's official now. It's a word of the year.
Yeah, great.
Okay, yeah. Anyway.
Thanks, Kenton.
Yeah.
You've just lowered the IQ of this podcast. It was already pretty low.
Yeah, it was my not. It's not kind of winning the awards, but it's okay. It's good. It's good. It's good.
I'm going to continue to lower it.
So Archer would go to the bars or the restaurants, would convince the women eventually to then take him back to their place.
And show him his real Riz.
Yeah. He would target single women ages 40 to 50 in that time, that age group, and would obviously murder and kill them.
Oh, is that what he did?
That's what he did. He killed 3 people.
3?
3.
Okay. I thought you said 30. I was like, what?
No. Just 3.
Okay.
Just 3. Another one, the serial killer that terrorized London was called Christian McGee.
Kenton, this whole episode has the most fake-ass names I've ever heard. Like, Christian McGee, fucking
Gerald Thomas Archer,
Jackie English, like just the most fake bullshit names I've ever heard. Anyway, go on.
It's okay.
What's Mr. McGee up to?
So Mr. McGee's whole process, he's your stereotypical textbook serial killer. He might actually, like, you'd see this in a movie and assume, oh, that's the bad guy. And then as the movie progresses, like, oh, he's not. He's just a creep.
Okay. Oh.
This guy, he drives a rusty pickup truck. He peels roadkill off the roads. He works as a junk man. Garbage guy. He was very spontaneous with his murders. They described him as stabby.
Wow, that should have been the word of the year.
Stabby?
Stabby.
No, that was the year when he was doing it, yeah.
Yeah, that was the word of the... I don't think they did the word of the year back then because they had to worry about other shit, like getting stabbed.
By Mr. McGee.
By Mr. McGee, a.k.a. Stabby.
His name is actually the Mad Slasher.
Oh my God, that's a great name.
The other guy, I'm sorry to say it, Archer was the Chambermaid Slayer. McGee killed 3 as well.
3-3.
The next one is the champion of the big 3 serial killers that terrorized London.
Yeah, Danny Magoo.
No, it's Russell Johnson. Hmm. Normal name.
Okay.
Not a normal guy.
Okay.
All right. Russell Johnson, think of him like a Sylvester Stallone kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
Big, muscled, right? They call him Old Russ sometimes.
Old Russ.
Oh, good old Russ. What he would do is he would go to the bar and get drunk. And then he's going home. And instead of, like, most of us, if we go to the bar, we drink too much, we walk home, we would, like, follow the sidewalks to get to our house.
Yeah.
Old Russ didn't do that kind of thing. Instead of the whole going around the obstacles, he would go over them.
It's a game.
He would climb the buildings in his way. Old Russ would grab on to the bricks of the apartment buildings and climb the buildings. Once he climbed, because he was drunk, he didn't remember what he did. He went back and look. He climbed 13 stories, holding onto the bricks of the building.
Couldn't do that now with this vinyl siding.
No.
Houses and stuff.
Or Russ ruined the fun for all of us, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always the one that ruins the fun of climbing over buildings.
What he would do is he would climb the building and then go in the, usually like, because people would have those, like, balconies.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't lock their balcony doors because
who's going to climb it on the balcony?
Right? Especially if you're like 12, 8, 9 stories up. No one's climbing up. Anyway, old Russ would.
Mm.
And he would go inside through the balcony windows and doors and into the apartments where these women would be.
And murder them.
Yeah.
Wow.
He killed 7 women.
And his name was the Balcony Basher.
You know, actually, he had 2 names. One of them was the Balcony Killer. Yeah.
Wow. That's not... Mine's way, way better.
And the other one was the Bedroom Strangler.
Dude.
So he killed 7 and he injured 11 others.
Wow. He's not very, like, efficient.
No. He's less than 50%.
Yeah.
Like, all that effort, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm going to climb a building to go kill someone, I'm going to, you know, go through with it.
Not a good resume.
No. So those are the big 3 serial killers in London at the time. But together, their tallies 7-3-3 is only 13. There were 32 people that died.
Mm.
16 of them still unsolved. Mm. You'll also notice, because there's lots of records about people who they killed in their age groups, none of them were killing people around Jackie's age, 15. One of them did 40 to 50-year-olds. The other one did mostly 20s and 30s. The other one's about the same thing, 20s and 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So no one's going after people that age. But there's a lot of kids or teenagers, young adults going missing as well. And that's one of the reasons why Jackie and so many others were never solved. Because London could not keep up with all these crimes.
Mm.
Because imagine you have one murder. Well, that's all hands on deck, right? You have a second one. You have another one. If you have 8 in, like, 2 years, but they had 32 in like 20 some years. So like that's 2 a year or something. So they could not handle it. And it's, I don't blame London, Ontario for not being able to keep up with this because these are massive problems, right?
Right.
One issue with London, Ontario to this day is they don't have a cold case department. So although Jackie English's case is still open, it's not really active, right? Mm. Also, it's been quite a while.
Right.
But they're saying, you know, if they had the technology and they had the resources, they might be able to track down the killer now because they have some evidence. But maybe one day. So now we're going to talk about why London, Ontario. What's going on with London that causes these people to be deviant serial killers?
Yeah.
So a really interesting thing about London, Ontario is that it's kind of between Detroit and Toronto.
Yeah.
It's a smaller community. Now I think they said it's about 500,000 or less than that. But back then it was about the size of Regina, right?
Yeah.
It's was then predominantly white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. There was some a little bit of racism in it towards Catholics, but that's what you get when you have a mostly Protestant community. But one of the things about London that makes it kind of more unique is that it was the average Canadian city. Average population, average age demographics,
interesting,
average racial diversity, average sexuality types. So what a lot of companies would do is that they would go to London and they would kind of launch the new products. How does this product go in London? Like
testing grounds.
Testing grounds, yeah. That's where there were a lot of companies that had the HQ's headquarters in London to kind of monitor how all these products were doing.
So, sorry, you're probably about to tell me, but do you know what products exactly?
It varies. They made car parts there. They made new types of food. Maybe they rolled a new thing at McDonald's there. Pharmaceutical things, maybe like that. Toys, anything and everything. It's just a testing ground to see how it would sink into the London, Ontario market and then how that would expand across Canada. It was, right. It was a testing ground. Great example, modern example, is that our favorite musician, Justin Bieber, is from London, Ontario.
Wow. Cool.
Probably the same concept. How's he doing in London? Oh, he's doing very well. Let's make him Canada-wide. Probably the same idea there, because you see how he's doing with the demographic, how the teens feel about him, how his song is being received. Okay, this is great. Let's make this national. Okay, same idea. There's other cities in the United States like Richmond, Eugene, and Rochester that are the same kind of testing grounds for products. Okay. Again, average demographic, average population size. So it's see how these products kind of sit. And these communities also have above average number of serial killers.
Oh.
So the idea is, one could say, is it the stuff they're testing, right? Is it the products? Is it the food? Is it, you know, they haven't hammered out everything yet? Or, and this is what people are kind of leaning towards, is it the fact that it's average, that it's a perfect ground for not only products, but also for breeding violence? You know, if it was, you know, a little more destitute, the people would be worse. It'd be different kind of crimes. If it was better off, people would be lesser, like more white collar crimes. But because it's an average, there's no maybe higher prospects, there's no less. It's just like, okay, it's a perfect breeding ground for this kind of violence. Since this is, time has changed, London has changed over time, now they have a bit more of a gang violence problem. So at this time, it was thinking, is this related to the type of people that London is, right? Like, is it because of it's an average community, they have this above average type of crime? That's one idea, kind of out there. Another one is that it's on Highway 401, which goes between Detroit and Toronto. Mm. Okay, I mentioned that was the highway that Jackie was on. When they rolled out the interstate highway in the United States, they saw a direct correlation between serial killers and activity and the highway that they congregated along the highway. And this came up in the recent Dahmer documentary on Netflix. Okay. When Jeffrey Dahmer, the actor who plays Jeffrey Dahmer, is talking to the police after being arrested. And he says something like, why am I the way I am? And the officer says, we don't know. It might be to do with the highways. And the idea is that the highways make it easier for these serial killers to go from point to point to point to cause these murders. Now, Highway 401 was built 4 years before the U.S. Interstate Highway. So, you know, these crimes began kind of before the major influx of serial killer crimes that occurred in the United States. And it kind of fits along the same timeline as when the highway was made. Some other people think maybe it's the noise from the cars can make some people go a little cuckoo. The constant vroom, vroom,
yeah,
vroom.
Noise pollution.
Yeah. Could be pollution from the vehicles, pollution from with the air, anything like that can cause this kind of stuff to happen. Another thing it could be is that London is a little bit off to the side. So like the highway goes past, goes from Detroit to Toronto, but London is a little ways away, so it's a little more secluded. And back then, there wasn't the interchanging information between police departments. There wasn't the, you know, massive news cycle we have now. If someone was murdered in London, Ontario, people in Toronto wouldn't know. So a killer from Toronto could come to London, Ontario, cause a crime, go back to Toronto, they wouldn't have any way to track them back and forth, even if it's not that far of a distance. It's also off the path. It has a wooded area. It's more isolated, more secluded. This also causes more of a bubble community, right? So like conflicts kind of circle it within as opposed to going out. So it's a couple of different ideas of what causes London to be like this. I know there's a lot there, and obviously it's unsolved, right? The reasoning, and it has stopped seemingly in recent years since the 80s. So what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Stopped since the 80s.
It lost its title in 84.
Okay.
So it went from either 58 or 69, depending on when people say it started, to 84.
Well, maybe they had a high amount of fluoride in the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, I don't know. The highway thing makes sense. Now, I don't actually remember, I have no idea, but because Detroit used to be like a huge industrial city.
Yep.
What years was that in between?
That's a good point. It started off, after the Great Depression, I think it took off because cars were before then.
Right.
And then Depression, I think it was, I could see Detroit booming in the 40s.
Yeah.
And maybe until the 70s. I could see that kind of that time period. I don't know for sure, but that seems right.
So if that was the case, probably a huge truck export would have been to Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe the highway, mm-hmm. the pollution thing makes sense.
Yeah. There was a lot of vehicle manufacturing. I think it was GM had the headquarters in London as well.
Interesting. So run off into the water.
Yep.
That's what I would think. That the average thing, I kind of grasp the idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But also okay.
Yeah, it seems like a weird one. Mm-hmm. They're average, so they have more serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that, but that's kind of the idea people go with. One thing I forgot to mention, and maybe this will change your opinion. London, Ontario is named after London, England.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is kind of obvious, but just in case. Yeah. But it also has a lot of namesakes to London, England. I think one of their main theaters is called the Globe. Their river is called the Thames, which is like the one in London. And London is also known for something else, Jack the Ripper.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, if a city is trying to impersonate London, England, what's missing? You can have clock towers, you can have bridges and rivers and old buildings, but London is known for one thing, and that's Jack the Ripper.
Mm-hmm.
So could it be these steel killers are trying to be that Jack the Ripper?
Right.
That unsolvable murdering spree that terrorized London in the 1880s? I'm leaning towards that it's like, we're maybe not a psychological thing, but I am learning about other countries and other states. Oh, here's London. Oh, that's the same city I am in. And they had a serial killer.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe they weren't the first couple, but as serial killers popped up in the United States, or the first serial killer was caught in London, Ontario, that kind of snowballed, I think.
Yeah, maybe they just chewed on paint chips. And then that seemed like a good idea to them to be a serial killer. Lead poisoning, sorry.
Yeah, no. It could be chemicals from the manufacturing plants.
Yeah.
It could be poisons. It could be anything along the way.
It could be all of that together.
Yes.
Compounded.
Yes.
With the idea of, Jack the Ripper.
Yes. You see one serial killer going from the bars killing women. You see one serial killer who is in a pickup truck targeting women spontaneously, the stabby serial killer. One serial killer is climbing buildings and raping people in their bedrooms.
Right.
Suddenly you get this idea of, being that unsolvable serial killer, just like London, England has. Yeah. The man who stalks the streets and kills prostitutes with a blade. I could see that, but that's kind of stretching, thinking, there are other career goals people might have. Things to be famous for.
Yeah, no doubt, but at a point, what do you, if you have nothing, what do you have to lose?
Yeah. Jackie English, for example, her mother, she was from a single family. They're very poor, right? So it could be the average Canadian is poor, that they don't have a lot of, what do I do? How do I get forward with my life? Why not go towards that kind of crime? Some sort of notoriety of crime.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That was one I was thinking of, but as I talk through it, I'm not sure.
Yeah, this might be one you can't even really. There doesn't seem to be an actual good right in your face reason.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel like it might be just a compounded thing.
Yes. I think it's the perfect storm. You got the police department that isn't able to handle it. You got pollution from both Detroit and New York and the manufacturing plants in London, Ontario.
Namesake history.
You got the isolation is a problem with it. And the highway, which seems to be, we don't know why, a correlation between serial killers
right.
and highways.
Right.
I think that's it. I wish there was a bear, but
yeah, I'm pretty sure a bear didn't climb through everyone's balconies and kill 9 and injure 11 of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bears have their own method of killing.
Yeah.
And they don't usually do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not a bear this time, but I told you there will be a bear or
you told me,
but... there will be in the next one. I promise it's already ready.
You all, but it's supposed to be a surprise, Canton.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm excited. That's awesome.
So I think also in the future, we should revisit the Jackie English case.
Yeah.
Because there's a lots of information about there about who might have done it. And people seem to like these true crime stuff. So
nice.
Get what they want. But
you get what you want.
But for now, this one's just about the city of London, Ontario.
Interesting.
And why it is the serial killer capital of Canada.
Wow. Amazing. I'm sure there could also just be like a like thing that no one's thinking of that just, you know, if you knew, you'd be like, oh.
There's been talk that maybe like, because there's this rise of serial killers, the generation after people who fought in World War II.
Yeah.
It's like a World War trauma thing. But I could find no real reason why London, Ontario would be specifically hit by this kind of trauma.
Yeah. Plus it wouldn't, if all of them were past veterans.
Yeah.
Like, sure.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, PTSD, losing it.
But they all seem young, and they don't seem to come from the same kind of, like, one's a bodybuilder,
yeah.
One's a garbage man, and one's just a guy who targets, like, 40, 50-year-old women. It's not the same demographic. It's not the same kind of killings. So I don't want to say it's, like, obviously, you know, you could say, you know, Ted Bundy had his own thing, Charles Manson had his own thing, yeah. But, like, it's just, it seems like the same area of the same city, the same time period, completely different ways of killing people. I don't think it's the same cause, like the same World War II trauma cause. So I didn't even include that one.
Nice.
So this is interesting. A good back and forth.
I liked it. I think I participated often.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I did a lot of talking in this one.
That's all good. Yeah. It's supposed to be what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. Well, let our audience decide. Let us know in the comments. Because you comment on Spotify. You can let us know your thoughts.
You can.
I can leave polls and stuff, and people. Dude. We left a. Someone left a comment actually a few months back. I was so excited. I was like, "Oh, someone commented on our Spotify."
And then you read it. It's just like dumb.
No, I think they said it was a good episode.
Oh, okay,
but let us know in the comments. Let us know on social media. What are your thoughts about this puzzle?
This puzzle that needs to be put together.
I think there's some great books to read about this. I wouldn't mind reading them sometime too. One of them is The Forest City Killer. And the other one, I think it's Unsolved London, Ontario. Check them out if you like want to know more about these crimes. But don't read about Jack English because we'll cover that later.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can read about it, but, you know.
Yeah.
Don't. Thank you, Kent.
Thank you, Dylan. And thank you for listening, everybody. As always, my name is Kenton DeYoung, and I'm sitting here with my co-host, Dylan Furman. And it's been another episode of Unsolved Canadian Mysteries.